Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The new film Judas and the Black Messiah is out today, and it tells the story of Fred Hampton, the chairman of the Chicago Black Panthers in the late 1960s, played by Daniel Kaluuya.
You can murder a liberator, but you can't murder liberation. You can murder a revolutionary, but you can't murder revolution. And you can murder a freedom fighter, but you can't murder freedom.
Hampton was killed in December of 1969 in a police raid orchestrated by the FBI. And this film lays out how that came to be by also telling the story of William O'Neill, a man recruited by the FBI to spy on the Panther organization. O'Neill provided the FBI with the floor plan to Hampton's apartment prior to that raid. Judas and the Black Messiah is directed by Shaka King. And joining us now is one of the stars of the film, Lakeith Stanfield, who embodies the complicated role of O'Neill for this film. Lakeith, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so Judas and the Black Messiah. Lakeith, if Fred Hampton was the Black Messiah, that makes you Judas. What was it that drew you to this role?
Yeah, that makes William O'Neill Judas. What drew me to the role was actually not the role itself. It was the idea that I would be playing Chairman Fred Hampton, because that's what I assumed I would be doing when I got the script. Because I was one of the first people that was approached about the film. Shaka and I knew each other, and he had told me about a film he was just writing that chronicled a story in the Black Panther Party. And I was just really excited to hear that, because I always wanted to do a movie that talked about these themes, especially the Black Panther Party, who I loved growing up, their tenacity and just courageousness in order to take on the largest, most powerful government in the world and tell them, no, what you're doing is not right. So I was really inspired. And then he told me I'd be playing William O'Neill. And I was like, womp, womp, womp. That is until I started doing a little bit of digging into O'Neill as much as I could and trying to find who he really was and what motivated him. And I realized a lot of what motivated him was, you know, just his own fear with not being able to be free, not being able to live his life, which at age 17, which is when he came in contact with the FBI, is something that's really big to your freedom.
Right. And I want to get into that freedom because, I mean, we see all of this in the film because money is a motivator, poverty is a motivator, all of those things. There's a scene in the film with you and Jesse Plemons, who plays FBI agent Roy Mitchell, O'Neill's FBI recruiter. And Mitchell believes the Panthers are a threat. He even says they are the same as the KKK. Your character seems more concerned in this particular scene with getting paid. Let's listen.
Hey, how much money you make, man?
It's living.
So if I say I get you like some good information, something nobody else know, is it some kind of bonus or something?
Well, I'm counting on it, Bill. But to answer your question, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
This is such a powerful scene because it subtly underscores what desperation and poverty can make us do. How do you interpret O'Neill's decisions?
Particularly in that scene, I feel like O'Neill, he the kind of character that we want to portray was one that was young, scrappy, that was kind of into the street kind of life, who would do things like steal cars, anything he could do for money. So he was the kind of person that really valued money and power. And so when he was faced with an FBI agent that might offer this kind of power that he always strives to have and money, goodness, that's freedom, isn't it? And that's what he equated those things to. And so his ambition was to have that even over, you know, over a group that he wasn't politically aligned with. Now, a lot of people like to think that people were, you know, especially Black people in the country at the time, were either Black Panther Party, rah, rah, really with it, ready to put your life on the line to see change, or that you hated Black people.
We're always talking about it in this way, this binary way. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think there's a middle spot where there were some people who weren't necessarily down with what the Black Panthers were doing, but also weren't politically, you know, apolitical. And so I think there's an interesting version of a Black person you get to see in some moments with O'Neill, where it's not that he's all the way, you know, sort of radicalized into the establishment status quo, And he's not all the way into the rebellion either. He's like, look, I just want to make some money. But I think that decision, it caused more decisions down the line. If you watch the movie, you'll see it just gets worse and worse for him. He starts out doing things that just, you're like, whatever, I'm moving. And then you find yourself in a spot where now you have to make a really tough and bad decision.
Do you see him as someone that we should sympathize with?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough thing because on one hand, you have someone that did something that was obviously very reprehensible and helped cause the death of someone that we hold in really high esteem and regard. We also have to understand that William O'Neill is not the only part of this puzzle. In fact, the U.S. government is arguably a bigger part of the puzzle. So to me, if there's a constituency that really deserves to be scrutinized in a huge way, not to say that he doesn't, because William O'Neill definitely made his own decisions. And I don't agree with a lot of the stuff that he did. And I don't think we should herald him as a hero. I think we should learn from him. But the government themselves, we have to put them up on the block of judgment, so to speak, to say, why were you guys doing this? Why did you choose the Black Panther Party to be the number one threat to America? While meanwhile, there are people that are members of the KKK still occupying slots in office. I think we have to, you know, really hold them accountable for a lot of the stuff that went on there.
Mm-hmm. Lakeith, before I let you go, I got to ask you, you're drawn to roles where characters go through transformations. In Atlanta and Sorry to Bother You and Short Term 12, how has playing Bill O'Neill changed you?
William O'Neill has presented the most challenging role I've ever had to play. I never really had played a character yet where I really had to dive deep into my own moral standing and go against that in order to find something in the character that made the character playable to me or made it make sense to me in a way. So, you know, it was a struggle. Being on set every day, there would be times where I questioned whether or not it was the right decision to even depict this character and how to balance that out. So it was tough, but I'm really glad I went through it. You know, I learned a lot from it.
I can imagine. And I think people are going to take away so much of what you said in watching this film. You know, I also want to ask you something else. It's about your social media persona. I follow you on Insta. I watch your Instagram lives, Lakeith. I'm always thinking, okay, who is Lakeith going to be today? Why do you do this? And how do you decide what version of yourself you're going to show us? Because I think a lot of people follow celebrities because they're thinking they're going to get a sense of the real person.
I have an imagination and I love having fun. And I don't really take things too seriously, you know, and a lot of times my social media presence reflects that. I have fun with the thought and I just love engaging with the audience and laughing with people. And so that's a lot of what you'll see. I love acting too. So you might see me show up as a different persona. You might see me show up as someone unrecognizable from the person that you know.
Yeah, you were the Joker like a year ago.
I just have fun with it, you know, and engage with it. And, you know, so certain opportunities, it's used as something that can be a force for good as well, like my music, which is coming soon, which will also be featured heavily on my social media. Actually, if you want to see the realest side of me, you'll see that in my music. So thank you.
It's reflected in your music. Okay, I lied. I have one more question. You know, aside from your innate talent, one of the big appeals is that you feel like a normal guy. I mean, like the boy Lakeith I went to school with or the guy who lives across the street. I mean, do you feel like the blossoming of your career is in a way a testament to change in Hollywood?
I don't know. I don't really look to Hollywood like that. I don't got that much faith in Hollywood because to me, Hollywood's a business and it's not really a spiritual movement type thing as people try to make it to be really sometimes. I think that because of the thing that we do, which is storytell, which is on such a grand and, you know, very large scale, it seems like Hollywood is the bearer of the souls. But really, the souls are the bearer of Hollywood. And the way that we live life and the things that we do and experience, Hollywood tries to reflect. So if we don't like what we're seeing in Hollywood, it's like the lives we live got to be different. The real important thing is us being able to break out from the inside out and be better versions of ourselves than we were yesterday. And then Hollywood will reflect that inevitably anyway, because they're trying to keep up.
I love it. Lakeith Stanfield, star of Judas and the Black Messiah, thank you so much for this conversation and thank you for your work.
Thank you very much.